Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Transformation podcasts. Today, we will be discussing a domain that is not discussed as frequently as others, but that completely has its place as we navigate today's complex and interconnected world. So I am delighted to welcome Katia Reza, spirit artist, intuitive coach, healer, medium, and the founder of Chem Healing. Katia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Susie. I'm really delighted to be here and to exchange with you about that, let's say, for me at least, fascinating subject.
So absolutely. Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Katia, we've known each other for decades. And of course, we met in very different circumstances when we were both in corporate leadership positions. We were looking at operations, at lean, supply chain strategy. But you have recently given up your corporate management career to pursue other paths. I know that you're on a quest to help people discover themselves and to find out more about what makes them tick and what they would really like to do if they listened. I mean, really listened to their inner wisdom. Or should I say the genius that is intuition? That's how I like to put it. But and the different doors that that can open for us. So can we start there? And it's a little bit like transformation for me. So everyone has their own definition of what inner wisdom is, what spiritual is, and what it means. So can you give us your definition of spiritual and the spiritual world?
Yeah, as you say, Susie, absolutely. There are thousands of definitions and views and so on. So I will try to give you mine in the most comprehensive way because it's not obvious to put everything in a nutshell, let's say. For me, being spiritual is, of course, the belief in a greater power that we can connect to if we want to, if we open up to it. And that is really there to help us. And for me, exclusively help us. It will never harm us. That's at least my strong belief, and which is based on what I know today, what I've learned, and what I have experienced. It is not at all necessarily linked, let's say, to religious belief or esoteric beliefs. It can be, but it doesn't have to. Like for me, I really believe in lots of things, but I'm neither a religious person nor an esoteric, meaning the for, let's say, initiated only is not at all my approach. So just believing, let's say, in the existence of something that is beyond our physical and material world for me means being spiritual. In fact, I think it's really adding to the measurable, the material, our thoughts, our emotions, and really above all, our sensitivity, which gives us access and allows us to develop, if you like, our sixth sense. And this allows us to access to the invisible and to access also to information and knowledge from the invisible we would not have access to otherwise. And I think also what is really important is it is the awareness, let's say, of our unused capabilities, this immense potential, in fact, that lies in all of us. The ability to exchange, for example, to the organism in our dimension, animals, but also plants, and also to exchange with the other dimension, the invisible, spiritual world. Because everything is energy, and we exchange thanks to that energy. So what is the spiritual world for me? That's a tricky one. Not easy to answer. So of course, what I will say is my personal view, because whatever term, in fact, we use to designate that superior power, let's say, really depend on so many personal parameters,
of course, education,
our religious beliefs, and also, if you like, the philosophical angle that we apply to all this. So some will call it God force, others the divine. I prefer really to call it, let's say, the universal intelligence or consciousness, because these words crossed, let's say, my way throughout my studies in the UK, and I use them today because they really sit well with me. But in the end, we really mean the same thing. It's just that personally, for me, it is really important that I exclude any religious influences in all what I'm saying, doing, or teaching, because this is who I am and how I am. Of course, I absolutely respect and accept others' opinions, beliefs, and so on. Because especially, I think, in the spirituality and mediumship area, we really have to remain open, flexible, and tolerant because of the absence, of course, of any scientific proof, at least as of today.
Mm.
So to come back very quickly to what's the spirit world for me, well, it is that superior power that is there really to help us, as you mentioned at the beginning a little bit, to connect to ourselves, to help us to improve ourselves, to move on, to learn, and in the end, for me, to enlighten somehow our life.
Mm.
And I see it, and I'm really, I think I will not, I think some people will laugh about that, what I'm going to say, but I see it like a kind of melting pot, let's say, of really numberless minds or energies, if you prefer, that come together in what I therefore call my spirit team or your spirit team. Everybody has one. Because the composition somehow of that melting pot changes according to our need and also our development in the mediumistic and spiritual area. So it's not a static team. It changes in time and according to where do we go? What do we want to do with or in our mediumistic spiritual activity? This is how I see it. And in fact, well, I do not have to forget that there in the spiritual world, of course, they are all our loved ones. These minds that, well, do not have any physical body, of course, anymore, but who love to come to talk to their loved ones that they left behind in this world. So this is, I hope it was comprehensive how I see being spiritual in the spiritual world.
It was massively comprehensive. And I think there's quite a lot to unpack there. And I'm just going to underline a few subjects that we can unpack later. But I like the idea of connecting to something bigger than us. You know, it's quite a topical conversation in organizations today, the purpose. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Particularly since COVID, individual leaders, but also organizations are asking themselves questions around what is our purpose, our bigger purpose, you know, and it's often defined in bigger subjects like sustainability or regenerative economy, or, you know, how do we contribute to society? And I like the idea of something bigger than us because it keeps us humble. And I'm reading into what you say around this is about you being a small part of a very large universe, and that people need to actually understand that we don't know everything, quite far from that. And there are things that we see and things that we don't see. And a lot of wisdom comes from listening to what is said, but also to what is not being said, and the energies that are sort of moving around wherever we are, in the workplace, in the home, in society. And it reminds me of being on the top of a mountain when you climb right up to the top and you look and you're like, whoa, it's overawingly beautiful. But it's also a reminder of how small you are in terms of nature and what's going on in nature, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. But and I fully share what you were just saying, but I think it's also how big we are. And we do not realize how big we are, in fact. Because it's really, we are part, as you said, of something bigger than us. But I think in our society, and especially in the corporate environment, very often, lots of things make us small. Lots of things are there in order not to boost our self-confidence, but to keep us small. Thanks to spirituality, or let's say mediumship and everything that I said, we really discover what is outside, but we discover so much that is inside of us, we do not even imagine we are capable of, for instance.
And I love that idea of staying small, because we create systems in our minds and systems, you know, external systems, to keep us in that place. And it's only when we slow down a little bit and think differently and in a bigger way about us being small, if you like, that we can actually step out of that. So if I come to your comment that corporate, particularly in the corporate cultures, we keep ourselves small, which I agree with. A lot of people keep themselves small, particularly women. Do you think, therefore, that the corporate world and the spiritual world are compatible? And what's the bridge there? We hear a lot about conscious leadership, about, you know, leading through purpose, leading through empathy. And for me, there is a massive link. But it's very interesting for me to understand, you know, your opinion on where the link is there, because they're two worlds that are diametrically opposed. You never hear spirituality talked about in business and vice versa. Or I don't.
Yeah. Well, my answer is absolutely. For me, healing and mediumship, of course, well, helps us to get better at all levels, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually speaking. Yeah. They really allow us to connect to ourselves, to understand us better, who we are, what do we want, what are our dreams, what we should work on, and what we should just accept. And it also helps us to, let's say, discover and deploy our talents and potential, what needs to be healed also still. Mm. And above all, how do I get there? Because it's nice to know, okay, but how do I get there? Mediumship and healing helps really to bring orientation and guidance in the personal life, but also in the professional life, in difficult job situations and so on. And what is really important, it helps to increase our sensitivity, our awareness, and our intuition. And as you said, and as I already mentioned, this is so important, at least for me in the corporate environment. And unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say that, still so much neglected, especially in the management environment and in the HR.
Yes.
So, so it really helps us with all that to gain self-confidence, to get rid of imposter syndromes, and to stop that permanent comparison with others, which is really, for me, the poison for our self-esteem and self-confidence. And by doing this, we really learn and manage, I think, to get conscious about our own value and therefore validate ourselves. And then we can relax, sit back, and release that need of outside validation, which is, for me, unfortunately, still so often the case, especially for women in male-dominated domains, environments, jobs, and especially when they are climbing the hierarchy of those.
Of course.
So mediumship and healing helps us to get to inner freedom and well-being, I believe. And the better we feel, the more we are in accordance with ourselves and manage to overcome our doubts and fears, the more we confident, of course, and the more we dare to leave our comfort zones to take on new challenges and new responsibilities. So this is absolutely important in the corporate environment. And if I may, my 30 years of management experience, let's say, really helped me in what I'm doing today, because I went through all this and I suffered from this and I experienced all this. I really do believe that the spiritual world has chosen somehow on purpose and still chooses on purpose profiles like mine to open up all this, particularly to our milieu, let's say, and to make understand the people in our milieu and environment. It's not only compatible, but is above all there to, or can bring so many positive things to them. So the answer, it's clearly yes. I think it is compatible.
But I mean, and if I can come back to unlocking potential, which is one of my subjects, as you know, I think it's interesting to look at the holistic view this takes, because in organizations particularly, and in society, but let's stay with organizations for the moment, we don't take holistic views on much. And, you know, they work in silos, they're budgeted in silos, and people are seen as cognitive beings as opposed to emotional, spiritual, etc. And it remains for me a little bit of a taboo subject that we talk about. And there are stereotypes in cultures, I'm talking about workplace cultures, as well as national cultures, as to how this subject is seen. You know, what type of reactions do you get, Katya, to, I mean, do people think you're a weirdo? Do people think that you do fluffy stuff? Because you've just given a great example of how it's not fluffy and actually it's very compatible with the world we live in and we would like to thrive in. So I'm just interested in what stereotypes you come up against and how you manage that. Tell us a bit about that.
I have to say that, especially in the beginning, when I was still 100% in my job as a manager and in that unsensitive, let's say, environment. Absolutely, I was afraid to be taken as a weirdo. I love that word, by the way. So I was there, oh my God, nobody will talk to me anymore. I'm going to get fired if they discover. You know, I was really afraid about all that. And at the moment where I really decided, and I think we're going to talk about that later on, okay, I'm going to change my life.
Yes.
I really opened up and I started to talk about it more openly. I have to say I was kind of surprised about the reactions of people. that were a lot more positive than I was expecting. And even people who did not or who do not believe in all this were open to discuss and to exchange with me. Well, maybe they stepped away and thinking, wow, what a weirdo. Well, I don't know. But honestly, I don't care today because I openly assume myself. But I also really believe in the law of attraction.
Mm.
So given the fact that I try at least to bring modern, down-to-earth, more grounded vision of mediumship and healing to the people without that, as I said at the beginning, esoteric stuff and the connotation of bizarre that is done between weird persons far from reality and in the obscurity, let's say. The people that come to me and also the students that that want to learn mediumship with me are really on the same level of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say that I do not meet anymore, let's say, or attract any of these stereotypes.
Mm.
Because people that come to see me or even my clients in healing, it is really their, even if they have all their problems, I never have the stereotypes with me. And this is for me really the law of attraction, because my objective is really to show that mediumship, as I said at one moment, is open to everybody, to people like you and me, having their feet on the ground, head on the shoulders, normal.
Thank you for that. being normal.
Normal family, professional and social life. And the spiritual world works really with everybody if we open up. Yeah. And I think what is really extremely important is, and I really want to stress that, because there's often that image of mediumistic people. It is not at all incompatible with party life. If you want to go out, dance all night and having one or more mojitos, you can do that. The spiritual world, at least the one that works with me, want me to be a terrestrian and really to work with them. But also when I do not work with them, live my social and my terrestrial life. So I'm a normal person.
Mm.
And that's why I attract, I think, normal persons.
Mm. So I think it's interesting. There's a couple of things. One, your own assumptions about how people are going to react. And you've sort of busted your own assumptions now that you're more open to it. And as you say, the law of attraction, you don't meet that anymore. But clearly you have undone your belief system and your assumptions so that there is an open space there. I think that's really interesting. And also, what was your light bulb moment? We will come on to in a little bit how you operationalize it, because that's my big question of what does it look like? What do you do? How do you do it? And, you know, I'm a big believer in operationalizing subjects so that people can use them. But before we go there, what was your light bulb moment, Katya? You were sat there in your corporate environment, and one day, what happened and what did you think?
In fact, I really had a light bulb moment that made me push the door towards mediumship and healing. And if you want to hear the story, I will tell that in a minute. Concerning changing my life and stepping away from the corporate environment was not one light bulb moment. It was a step-by-step in-time process. And why? Because the spiritual world that works with me, the teams, if you want, they exactly know me and they know how I tick. So I'm a very mental person and I'm somebody who calculates the risk that I'm taking. So I'm not going to jump into the cold water, closed eyes, if you tell me. I always will look, ooh, no, I don't know. It has changed. Huh? I developed a lot since then, but I'm still a bit like that. And when everything kicked off for me with mediumship, where I really started to look into it in 2015, I was absolutely a person that I was not able to swim in blurry water. I had a need, I had to have, and I needed visibility. Otherwise, I felt insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really, because with the time, of course, with the personal development I went through, I understood lots of things about myself.
Yes.
I think at that time, it was really that despite that self-assured, self-confident image that I conveyed in the outside world, in the professional world, and to the management and so on, I think, in fact, I was very or pretty lacking self-confidence as a person and as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, I was not able to see it, to accept it, and therefore work on it. And so the spiritual world knew that they had to bring me step by step to that decision, not with a big boom, because otherwise yes. I wouldn't ever have done it because it was not me.
Mm.
Okay. So do you want to hear the story about my life?
I would love to hear the story. I would love to hear that story. Tell us about that.
Okay. So in 2015, lots of things happened in my personal life, like, well, for lots of people. And I fell a little bit in a dark hole, let's say, a dark phase that I not necessarily showed to the outside world. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine at that moment told me, oh, Katja, I think you have to do something about yourself because I think you're depressed. I was there. What?
Me? I don't get depressed.
What do you mean by depressed? I'm not depressed. I'm not crazy. Come on, don't ever tell me to go to see a psychic. So I was like that at that time. And then she said, no, but how about, have you considered an alternative approach and so on? I said, well, I can give it a try. Because deep inside, of course, I knew that I had something that I had to work on, let's say, or to resolve. And so I went to see a sophrologist.
Okay.
Okay, so working with energy and so on. So I went, first session, I went there, I was lying on the table, eyes closed, nice music, and she was doing her methodology and so on. And she had a little basket with crystals that were at least over 1 meter, let's say, on a shelf on my right. And so I had my eyes closed, and she was on my left because she had the hands on. And I heard as well the crystals moving, jumping. And I was just there. Okay. But I was not afraid. It was just that, that's weird. So we moved on and so on. And then the session was over. And then I opened my eyes. We exchanged. And so at one moment, I asked her, have you heard the crystals? Or was I dreaming? She said, no, I heard that. I said, how did you do that? Because you were standing next to me. And she was just looking at me. You're going to take me for a weirdo, I'm sure. She was just
That's an assumption.
So she was looking at me with a smile and said, I didn't do anything. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I was not at all afraid.
Mm.
But I was intrigued, let's say. And so from that moment on, I really decided to look behind the scene, let's say. So I started reading and following courses and so on because I really wanted to know. So I really opened the door to all that subject. I started off really my journey from that time on, studied, learned, and got prepared for what I had decided at that time after a couple of years, let's say, was going to be something I was going to do after I will get retired. So, yeah. Of course, light years away. Come on. Okay. So, but then at one moment, something happened on corporate level in the company that I was working with in, and lots of things changed in my professional life and so on. And one day I knew the moment has come, let's say. And I knew that I had to change because I didn't feel in sync anymore with what I was doing. And was I was really getting up in the morning. I said, now, I do not want to do that anymore. Of course, remember, I do not jump into
cold water.
So I got prepared. And in 2022, I just said, goodbye, Mr. President. And I left. So this is how it happened.
And did it feel scary?
Scary, you mean concerning mediumship or the change?
The change.
For somebody like me who needs vision, it was really not difficult, but it was a calculated risk, as I said, but however, a risk. So I cannot say that I left and said, well, personally, I really felt great.
Okay.
Because I think I have never been, it was the best decision, I think, one of the best decisions of my life. Because
so no really regrets?
No, I really feel, let's say, fulfilled, and I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I would lie if I say that I was there. Hey, great. Yeah, of course. No problem. Of course, I was there. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever, I don't know what happened or what's going to happen. So, but I'm getting there. So, no regrets. But of course, I'm happy that I am how I am. That I mean, I'm not just waiting for things to happen.
No.
Because you really have to move yourself like in any other profession, let's say,
yeah.
in order to find clients, get known, the classical thing. You have to do marketing, you have to do everything that you have to do in the corporate world or material, classical professions, let's say.
Apart from in the corporate world, you have somebody to help you or to do it for you. So I think you just have to do everything yourself. And I think, you know, I always say, if it's not scary, it's not big enough. So jumping into cold water is scary. So
yes, it is.
Okay. So can we come to a little bit more tangible discussions around what exactly do you do? So we've discussed the context, we've discussed how you got there, we've discussed what it may feel like and be defined as for certain people. Oh. So what do you do exactly, Katya? How do you help people? How do you support people? And what's your toolbox, essentially?
Yeah, it's funny that you use that word, because this is what I was going to use also, my toolbox. So as you said at the beginning, I'm a medium, an intuitive and mediumistic coach, spiritual healer and spirit artist. Okay, so in my healing activity, I work in close coordination with the spiritual world. I do not do magnetic healing. I do what is called spiritual healing. So I let them do the work, let's say, and I'm the channel. And we address all kinds of issues, everything linked to emotional states, stress, anxiety, lack of confidence, whatever, and also physical issues like skin problems or any kinds of pain, arthritis, back pains, whatever. And very important, in the world I have evolved, let's say, meaning the English tradition of how do you do things, it's extremely important. I really want to stress that any healing activity is always in support of the traditional medicine. It never, ever replaces your visit to the doctor. And this is always my first question when people call me. Okay. And by the way, I refuse people who say, no, I go to see the doctor. I say, you do this first. Okay. Mm. It's really important. And then I also offer or do what's called the evidential consultations. That means communication with loved ones in the spiritual world, which is very specific, of course, but for me, an extremely important and powerful mean of healing for people. So I do this also. Mm. And in the personal development area, yes, I have my toolbox, as you say, and I use mediumistic and intuitive tools that I use according to your need. So I can give you some examples. For example, we have the intuitive reading, which is where I work with a mind-to-mind connection, that I mean soul to soul. I would connect to you, Susie. Mm-hmm. This helps really to use everything that you have inside yourself to get orientation, guidance in certain life situations, show you possible ways of resolution and unlocking blocked, let's say, situations, but also to see your talents, what are your potential, how can you deploy them, and just to know yourself better. So, but this is done on an intuitive level, for instance, what is part of my coaching also. And then I use also spiritual guidance, which is not a mind-to-mind connection, but a mediumistic connection with the spiritual world, where the spiritual world give you the answer, not the answer, so, but give you the words, let's say, that you need to hear or what they think about the question that you have and so on. Mm-hmm. So this is spiritual guidance. And then I use also, just as a last example, the by spirit inspired aura graphs. Okay, which is based on spirit art, which is an advising and guiding tool, let's say, in the shape of a painting that I create together with the spiritual world. This picture is delivered together with messages from the spiritual world for you that you need at that moment. And the messengers are your power or totem animals of the moment who come and deliver the words that you need to read or to hear. And then I give also, and this is more than, let's say, in front of groups and so on, I give conferences, I organize workshops around all these topics. And I also teach mediumship, because despite what lots of people think, you can absolutely learn mediumship, and everybody has the capacity to do that. So this is what I do.
Okay.
And what is really important, I think, because this is something that might sound weird to people, is that given, as I said, that we work with energy and that we exchange energy, everything that I just mentioned, I can do, or I can work with you wherever you are in the world. you're in Sydney, in New York, Singapore, Paris, or with me in the room, it is the same thing. Because mm-hmm. mediumship and healing have no, let's say, geographical boundaries.
Okay. So interesting. So you can do it via a screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I do readings through Zoom or healing or... Mm. Yes,
and, I do that also. And from what I'm understanding is I can bring you what are for me normal questions, okay? So like, you know, I feel really stressed at work, or I'm not quite sure where I'm going with my career, or I'm struggling with someone at work and it's really draining my energy. Are those the type of normal, in inverted commas, sort of habitual questions that I can bring you?
Yes, but something important to understand is I'm not a fortune teller. I will never, ever give you a future. No. Other mediums do, I don't. So I really prefer, for instance, that the person come with an open question. Give you an example. Should I quit work? Mm. No. The question, because I do not, I prefer not to have closed question. Yes, no. Mm-hmm. So it would be more an open question, like, how can I find fulfillment in my professional environment?
Okay.
It's more of this. But yeah, absolutely. Any question that you have linked to your material life, let's say, family, relationship, work, whatever.
Mm.
Also so, concerning your kids, I'm sorry, because I have also parents that ask me, okay, because they do not understand a certain problem or behavior of their babies, babies who cannot talk yet. So I also help parents in that.
Interesting. Wow. I wish I'd known that one when my son was younger.
It's never too late. But
And clearly that has, this whole process that you've been through and that you're continuing to build on has completely transformed you.
Yep.
And I've witnessed that transformation as a friend, but also it's transformed your life, what you want, the way you are, the way you show up. What do you think, Katya, is the most transformative experience you've ever had in this field?
That's a difficult question, because I have one that I will tell you. I think that was really the most globally transformative one. But of course, in each area that I'm doing, healing, spirit art, and so on, I had one moment, because when somebody, for instance, call you, telling you, oh, Katya, I'm sitting in the garden having a drink with my friends, and it's the first time for the past year that I have managed to put shoes on, because she had so many feet issues. This is so transforming, because, of course, it is, oh, okay, great, I know what I'm doing, why I'm doing what I'm doing. But examples like that really transformed me, because I changed completely my view on lots of things. Same on spirit art and so on. But I will give you really the most transformative situation. And it was in... Oh, I smile already.
I'm starting to laugh, but I don't know what you're going to say.
It was during one of my first courses in what I call the Harry Potter Castle, the famous Arthur Findlay College next to London, which is the place to be for any spiritual and mediumistic, let's say, studies. And I was in a course that was called The Storyteller. The specific subcourse, let's say, was about podium work. Podium work is just, in a nutshell, you are a medium, you connect to a loved one in the spirit world, you're in front of an audience, and you have 7 minutes to what we call place the communicator, meaning the person in the room know, okay, it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give clear evidence, really clear evidence, memories, and so on, that the person can accept and understand. Okay. So I never had done that in my life. Okay. And so we were 90
persons. Cold water.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you. Well, you will see. And we were split in subgroups of roughly 15 to 20 persons. And so we were sitting in a half circle, and the tutor, the medium, I love, by the way, her name is Lynn Probert. Oh, she's great. She was there. Okay, we are going to do podium work here. So who's going to volunteer? I was like this, please don't. And I knew it. So she said, Katya, how about you? And I said, no, I'm not going to volunteer. She said, okay, but I volunteer you on your behalf. I was like, oh, no, please. Okay. So she said, okay, come in front of the group. Oh, I was dying, And I stood up, you know, not at all the self-confident postures, head down, you know, not, I don't want to do that. So I stood in front of all these people looking at me. And she said, okay, go for it. So I connected, spiritual mode, silence, nothing happened. And I was just there. And I said to myself, I knew it. Not the classical thing. Mm-hmm. I knew I cannot do this. So I said to Lynn, I'm sorry, nothing comes. And she said, okay, you can sit down. I was there, wow, don't feel good, but at least I'm
off the stage.
Then she said, okay, Katja, now we'll do it again. Oh, please leave me alone. And she said, just put in your head the sentence, I'm a good medium, I can do that. You change your physical posture. You step with confidence on the stage and you just let it flow. And the spiritual world, of course, was already there and they helped me. But I did that. And I was standing in front of these people and it flew. Just by changing these things, it was just there. Wow. And it really worked. And I was happy. And then she said, okay, Katja, I know what I'm going to tell you. You're going to hate me for that. But I know that you need that because, well, what you have to know when you're a teacher in the mediumistic area, of course, you're connected to the spiritual world. They tell you what that person needs. Okay. They will not put you in situations that you cannot manage, but they just help you to go for it. You know. And so she said, so you're going to be a volunteer tonight. And what you have to know that during that course at night, there were volunteers. They did the same thing, but not in front of 15 people, but in front of 90 people that you don't know. And I said, what? No, please. She said, yeah. You need that. So I was like this. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't eat any.
I can imagine.
Dinner. I was like, yeah, condemned to death, you know.
Stressed.
I was fully stressed out. And then the moment came. And as soon as I was on stage, well, spiritual world helped me, of course. I just felt relaxed. And I said, okay, nothing can happen. We are here in a supportive study environment. So let's go for it. And it worked so well. And that was really after that day. Of course, I was, oh, great. I can do that because we all need food for our ego.
Of course.
But the most important was, in fact, or what came out of that for me was, and this brings the bridge to any other situation, professionally, personally speaking, that if we believe in us, if we overcome our fears, and if we really manage to tell that inner voice, the bloody inner critic, just shut up, I don't need you, because the only thing that you want to do is make me small. If we manage to do that, we really see what we are capable of and we really are able to unfold and deploy our talents and capabilities. And if we fail or just, we are not perfect, okay? But the consequences are not that our let's say, value as a person is attacked or damaged. It's just, okay, we learn from it. And the consequences are a loss, a lot less, let's say, important or bad or serious as we expected before. And in addition to that, if we learn to take everything with a great sense of humor, because we are not perfect and we are really able to laugh about ourselves, makes it easier for sure. Well, you know me, humor is so important in my life.
Possibly. Yeah, of course.
And I hear you, that's a German native person saying that, but it's absolutely true.
And what I'm so clearly on the humor thing, we meet all the time. I think it's really important, but I think it's also about the lightheartedness that the humor brings. And I'm hearing in what you say that, you know, letting go of your ego and of the fact that we are perfect imperfections and letting things unfold, I like to call it. So letting things emerge, which is what we talk about all the time in innovation, all the time in conscious leadership, is essentially the environment in which you can connect and also step into the bigger you, I'm going to say, because feeling small is something that's so familiar to a lot of us because it's run by the ego. And we spend a lot of our time in life, particularly in organizations, being run by the ego as opposed to the space that we're talking about now, where you're letting things emerge, where you're choosing learning over knowing. Okay, so exactly. This whole thing of being open to learning as opposed to, I know, I need to get it right.
Yeah.
So is that the polar opposite of what you experienced in corporate? Or, you know, how does the space you work in today fit with the space you worked in corporate? Did you see any of that?
I'm not sure if I understand. Did you say any of what? I'm sorry.
Did you see any of people in that mindset of learning as opposed to knowing and letting things emerge?
Today or in the corporate?
In the corporate.
No.
Okay.
No, I think, well, as you say, and as I said, in the corporate, like in any case in our education system.
Yes, absolutely.
Sensibility, sensitivity, emotions are seen as weaknesses instead of treasures and advantages, really, to see behind, let's say, the obvious. Today, this is, and I really have to say, and this is really a transformation for me because, well, I was always an empathic person, but and emotional also, but I was so mental. I was so driven by my head, by logic and reason and all this.
Sounds familiar.
with all the personal development I went through, thanks to mediumship and so on, because it's for me, and this is something that I teach in my courses, it's so important that not only to learn mediumship, but to work on yourself. Because personal development, without personal development, you cannot be a good medium. But, well, that's another topic. That's my feeling, at least. Like, I think, in any case, in the corporate environment, I think you're a bad manager. I'm sorry to say that. If you do not have personal development, we are still so much in that, especially in the technical companies, let's say, that you have to be a good technical or a good professional, the métier. You know, then you become an expert. Thank you. And then you become the manager. And somebody who is not an expert doesn't become a manager. And so, at least in most cases, I think for you, it's different. And so it was for me, because in the company that I was working in, I was one of the only ones, let's say, with a literature or language, foreign languages background, not at all a techie. And the teams that work with me always said to me, you know, what's so different with you is that I was always seeking personal development of the people, helping them to move on. And I was not considering, well, that's a competitor. I'm not going to feed a potential competitor or keeping people down because I'm afraid that they're going to take my place at one moment. No. Mm. And I think this is exactly... That's why I am where I am today, because I think I'm really there to do that bridge. And I would love really to be able to change that mindset, or at least to bring my little piece to that change, because I think there's so much still to do. Oh. And people are not in their heart. They are not in their solar plexus area. They're only here. And I think it has to be a mixture.
Clearly, and I think clearly, well, that's our joint quest, but I think the more of us doing that, the merrier, because I think it's a huge shift in organizations. It's a huge shift in society, as we know, if I take it one level up. And I was going to ask you what your vision was for your legacy, but you've answered it here around building those bridges wherever possible to take people into a place where they can develop. And clearly, as a leader, and when I say leader, it's the way I lead my life as well. It doesn't mean I've got a team, but it is about inner work and how I understand who I am and how I show up. And I mean, it brings me to my last question because time is running, but I do have a last question that I would ask you around your recommendation, therefore, or call to action, Katya, for anybody listening who is having a light bulb moment or who is thinking, okay, that sounds interesting, or who would like to connect more deeply with their spirit team or with the world that's bigger than them. Let me put it that way.
Do you want an honest answer?
Yes, please.
Come to see me. This is, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, seriously, not necessarily me. But yes. I think you really have to find for yourself a serious professional and well-educated medium that teaches techniques, but teaches also the understanding of the mechanism. How does it function to help to understand all this, even if we do not have 100% clear answers yet? And also the ethics, because unfortunately in that movement, or let's say in that environment I'm in today, this is too often neglected still, the ethic part of it. So you should really find someone...
What do you mean by ethics, Katya? What do you mean by the ethics part of it?
Ethics means forget about your ego, don't tell people horrible things. Your messages and what you do always have to be uplifting, positive, and make them progress, not to make them be afraid or regret.
Okay.
You should find someone that you feel good with, that you trust in, that you feel confident with, who can help you really in that mediumistic development there, let's say. Because as I say, we can all learn, or better said, we can all develop our capacities that we all have in us. And if you open the door, if you send out the signals, spiritual world will work with you. Okay. So disregarding your religion, also your age, it's never too late. Even at 80, you can open up. Mediumship is not an elite thing in any case. Anybody can do that. So if you want to, to dig in your experiences, in your what you feel or your what you see, find somebody. And same if you're asking yourself questions, just accept or recognize that this superior power, let's say, is there that you can reach out to. It can help you. And you have also that inner power that you can use. So in a nutshell, come to see me.
Okay, excellent. And I'm going to leave our listeners with that invitation to come to see you, and also getting curious and thinking bigger is the way I'm going to put the main messages. Katya, thank you so much for coming and sharing your stories, your experience, and also for making this subject tangible for us and linking it to the reality of where we work, how we work, and how we show up at work. So where can people find out more about you, what you do, and see some of, I'm very interested in the spirit art, what it looks like and things like that. Where can our listeners find out more about that?
Well, I think best thing is to go on my website. It is chemhealing.fr. Well, you have an English and a German portion too.
Okay.
There you can really find everything. Well, I'm on Facebook too, but I think the website is really a lot more, let's say it's a lot more clear and complete, let's say, of all what I'm doing. So it's chemhealing.fr.
Okay, super. I will put all those links in the show notes so that people can find them easily. And thank you. Thank you for an enlightening conversation, Katya. It's been great.
Thank you, Susie. It was a pleasure for me.
Likewise.
Okay. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.